Morning. Today's daf is daf Nida, daf Beis. We begin Masechta Nida today, and this is it. This is all we get to see of Seder Taharas. There's a lot of Seder Taharas out there, and we only get to just cover a little bit of it, and that's one Masechta comprised of 10 Prakim. Where's the... We're going to find the rest of Seder Taharas, so it's actually... it's here. it's in the printed shas and the print of Vilna shas. So you'll find it in the back. Also, you can get a set of mishnayos, and you can find it there as well. it would be helpful. Not that we're going to do it now, but it would be helpful to go through Seder Taharos just in terms of understanding Masechta Nida, because Nida primarily is a Taharos Masechta. But it's not only a Taharos Masechta; it's also a Nisvehet Masechta as well. So it's kind of a blend of the two, and so that's why the Gemara obviously talks about it, because of the issues of Issur V'Heter. Okay, so let's take a step backwards. Before even reading a word of Mishnayos or of Gemara, let's just discuss things on a more basic level, a more fundamental level, and then we're going to see the Masechta inside. It's funny, the Masechta, so you'll see when we start the first Mishnah, it like throws us into the middle of a topic that, like, you know, I mentioned this many times. I mean, first the Mishnayos go into the details, and then only later on does it talk about the larger issues. Okay, and that's just simply the way that Mishnah and Gemara works. And so let's go the other way. Let's first start off with the bigger issues, and then we'll get into the details of our Mishnah. Okay, a woman's anita. So obviously, we're talking about the menstrual cycle of a woman, and when a woman is anita, so two things occur. Number one, she's tamea, meaning she's now a source, she's an avatama. She's a source of tumma. So that means that anything she touches is going to become tumma. Not anything, but anything which is susceptible to tumma. So any object, item, or susceptible to tumma will become tumma. It could be a food, it could be a kli. She's an avatama, so therefore she's going to transmit the tumma to other items. Life living with anida is going to be difficult in the world of tumma tahara, in the sense that now, if you don't want to become tumma, so, right, or if you don't want to eat food which is tamei, it's going to be challenging, meaning she can't touch, right, often wonder, right, you are living with anida, right, your wife is menstruating at the time, and you want to eat a meal that's not tamei. How do you do that? It's easy for you to say. you're good at that. So right, it's difficult, and any chair she sits on is going to become tamea, and any bed she lies down is going to become tame. So if your simple goal is that you don't want to become tame, that's going to be challenging. It'll be very challenging. Okay, but fine. So number one, she'll be she's tamea. She's an avatama. Two is that she's prohibited to her husband. That's the issur v'heter aspect of Nida, meaning she can't be with her husband, and I'll get into more details in terms of the nature of such a prohibition. Okay, so that's the that's what we call a Nida. Now, a woman can also be what's called a Zava. Now, it's similar, but it's not the same. Now, a Zava means that a woman also has bleeding, and she now is going to become Tamea. And the truth of the matter is, from a source of Tumah, from a Tumah aspect, it's same thing, meaning she's going to be an avatama, much like Anita is an avatama. Okay. A couple of minutes together, just to explain the difference between Anita versus a Zava. Okay. And this is important. I mean, it's all important. I'm just saying, these are just the very basics, and just so that we all understand. The Gemara assumes that a woman works on a certain cycle, meaning, and that'll be a lot of our discussion over the course of this Masechta. Right? The next 2 months, we talk about a woman and a woman's cycle. Okay, and you'll see in the time of the Gemara, women were much more fixed and regular than they are bizmanenu nowadays. Okay, but let's say the following: a woman's anida. That means that let's go to the first menstrual cycle that she has in the course of her life, right? 12, 13 years of age. So when she sees blood for the very first time, she's anida. And she will be anida. Now, I'm making a disclaimer. Everything I'm saying now is according to the Torah. That should be a disclaimer. That should be like... Right. What I mean is that we now live in a halachic framework where we are machmir, we are stringent, and I'll explain the stringency in just a moment. But before we explain the stringency, you got to know first what the Torah says. A woman, when she starts bleeding for the first time in her life, she's now a nida. Okay? And that means now for the next 7 days, including the day she started bleeding, the next 7 days, she will be a nida. And it does not matter if she bleeds for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 7 days. It doesn't matter. At the conclusion of the 7 days, her nida status is over. Well, does it end automatically? Of course not. She has to tell from the mikvah. So after 7 days are up, that night, meaning the eve of the 8th day, she tovas in the mikveh, she goes back to her home, and she's with her husband. Okay? And that is a nida mida araisa. Even if she bled only 1 day, next 7 days she's a nida mida Torah. And she has to now wait for those 7 days to end. She tovas in the mikveh. Does she need shiva nikiyim min ha-Torah? No, she does not. She does need to count 7 clean days. She doesn't need to wait 7 clean days. She just simply is 7 days in nida, regardless of those 7 days, how many she bled. And then she tovels in the mikvah on the eve of the 8th day, and she goes home to her husband, and she's with her husband, and that's a nida min ha-Torah.
What if she bleeds for not 7 days, but like 9 days in a row?
So then the 2 days following the 7 days now are going to be dam zava. Okay. Now, after 7 days are up, so now we go into the next 11 days. Those next 11 days are what's called Yemei Ziva. Yemei Ziva are characterized by the following. She shouldn't be bleeding. Meaning, it's irregular for her to be bleeding during those next 11 days. And if she does bleed during those next 11 days, so we're going to say that blood that comes out of her is not Dam Nida, but it's a new type of Dam. It's what's called Dam Ziva. Okay? And now, basically, the halacha goes like this. She bleeds 1 day, she bleeds 2 days during those 11 days, and it doesn't matter when during those 11 days, but they have to be consecutive. Well, I take that back. Hold on the consecutive part. She bleeds 1 day, she bleeds 2 days, even if those 2 days are consecutive, she's what's called a zava katana, a minor zava, which means that now she has to be only shomer yom keneged yom, meaning she has to see 1 clean day, she has to wait 1 clean day, and then she could go home and she could be with her husband. Okay. And she'll tov in the mikvah. Right. She'll tov in the mikvah. That's an important point. She'll tov in the mikvah and she'll be with her husband. What if she sees for 3 consecutive days during her Yemei Ziva? So now she's a Zava Gadola. Now that she's a Zava Gadola, and this has to be now 3 consecutive days. Now that she's a Zava Gadola, she will be toveling in the mikvah? Not yet. Not yet. She has to first count 7 clean days. Shiva Nikim. After counting the 7 clean days, she is Shiv Nikim. She now then tovels in the mikvah. Excuse me. She tovels in the mikvah. And then and only then she can be with her husband.
And when does it need a tovel and when does a zava?
So a nida tovels only the night after the seven days have expired. A zava ketovel on the 7th day of her Shiv Nikim. Although she should not be with her husband until that night, but she could tovel already during the day. Okay, that is the 7 days of Nida and the 11 days of Yemei Ziva. Okay, what we do?
What happens after the 7 days?
Now, what happens after 11 days? That's correct. That's the right path I should go down. After 11 days, now then what?
Nida.
So she goes back to being a Nida. Now, when exactly? So this is up for a question. According to most Rishonim say the next time she bleeds. Meaning, she goes through 7 days of her Yemei Nida, then afterwards 11 days. Let's say she doesn't bleed during those next 11 days. Okay, when is she going to be in Nida the next time? It's very simple. Next time she bleeds. Which a woman has a regular schedule of, she menstruates every 30 days, right? A monthly cycle, but let's say she bleeds every 30 days. So on day 31, the next time she bleeds, that's now the Pesach, the opening of her Nida. And then from that day and the next 6 days, she'll be a Nida. Right? Plain and simple. The Rambam, which I know he's normally the person who is more with the sciences. Excuse me. I almost have it back. The Rambam was more with the sciences. The Rambam takes an interesting position, and one which is hard to understand. And the Rambam says that a woman is a nida for 7 days, then a zava for the next 11 days, and then, that's 18 days, on day 19, she's a nida again, regardless of whether she bleeds or she does not bleed. Meaning the Rambam says that she'll just go right back into her nida. 7-11, 7-11 are a continual cycle with no breaks. Okay, that is a difficult position to understand. It doesn't seem to conform with what we know is to be as a regular cycle. Okay, it's a difficult position of the Rambam.
7-11, 7-11.
That's it. That's the Rambam's opinion.
The cycle is 18 days.
It's an 18-day cycle according to the Rambam. It's a difficult position to understand. Okay, but that's in this discussion we're going to assume like the other Rishonim.
So according to Rama, if her cycle is supposed to start and she doesn't have any bleeding and she bleeds like 3 days later, does she count 7 days after that? No, she counts only 4 days. That's left.
You got
and
it.
And then starts 11.
You got it. You got it. You understand? That's correct. Oh, I was correct. Yeah, that's the Rambam's opinion. It's a difficult position to understand, but that is the Rambam's opinion. And you know, out of all the discussion regarding Masechet Nida, that Rambam and his position over there, he's not the only one who holds that way. I believe Rabbeinu Chananel agrees with him on this, but I believe so. But that's they're really in the minority on this issue. Okay.
What distinguishes this 11 days from the other days?
It's very simple. The 11 days are she's not supposed to be bleeding then. So the blood that comes out of her is not Nida blood, it's Zava blood. Okay. That's it. And nowadays, let's just, one more point about this Nida versus Ziva. And nowadays, what do we do? So what we do is based on a Gemara that we're going to see together later on in the Masechta, which is a Chumra that goes back all the way to the time of the Amorayim. May go back even earlier, perhaps. But in other words, this is a Chumra that is an old Chumra that we've taken upon ourselves as a Jewish people, which is the following. A woman sees any blood whatsoever, she treats that blood like Dam Ziva, like she's a Zava Gadola. Okay? Now, in order to be a Zava Gadola, as we just learned, A, she has to be during her 11 days. B, she needs to see 3 consecutive days of bleeding. So, okay, and that's what it would take in order for her to be a Zava Gadola. What the Benos Yisrael have taken upon themselves, they were machmir upon themselves, that if they see any blood whatsoever come out of their body, obviously not anywhere in the body, but out of that area, so that blood is to be treated like she treats herself like she's a Zava Gadola, which now means that she needs to count 7 clean days, which now means that she can't tovel in the mikvah until after she counts 7 clean days.
And she has to count 5 days.
There's a further complication, which is, right, you touched on it, but I really don't want to get into it now. No, it's not. It's important. It is important, but it only complicates the whole issue. Is that she can't start counting Shiva Nikim until she knows that she's totally tahora. Right? It's very possible that she had relations immediately right before she went into her bleeding, which now means that she has zera inside of her, and the zera is going to prevent her from starting to count her Shiva Nikim. How long does it take for that zera to go away, to dissipate? So 3 days, 4 days, and according to the Ashkenazim, 5 days. So that's why she doesn't not start counting until 5 days.
But this way, with this Nodu Banes Israel, were machmer for all the shittas in the Rambam.
No, we're not being machmer for the Rambam. That's not the Rambam. Rambam may be part of the issue.
Yeah, but we definitely don't go against the Rambam doing this.
No, well.
Yeah, the Rambam came after.
Right. No, the Rambam was just explaining where the cycle of a woman, Nida versus Ziva. What we do now, and again, when I say we, I mean this is going back all the way to the Amorayim, is that even if a drop of blood comes out of a woman, she's now a Zava Gadola.
She does everything. So this way that they don't have to keep the cheshbon.
Right. Correct. In other words, I support that statement. Right, I agree with that statement. Meaning by doing this, basically, you no longer have to worry about whether she's during the 7 days, whether the 11 days. Right. You no longer have to worry, do we hold like the Rambam? Do we not hold like the Rambam? That I agree with. Meaning that's correct. That is what comes out of the Chumrah, is that now at this point in time, we're...
Because you might want to make Chishuvim by the Rambam and also by the Rambam.
Correct, correct. Correct, absolutely correct. Very good. That's, I agree.
did not discuss with this, but regarding the husband, if the husband gets the tumor from the wife, either like by sitting on her chair or whatever, that is it possible for the husband to go to the mikveh before having a relationship?
No, meaning there are two. In other words, there are two separate issues which sometimes they're going to overlap, but most of the time they're two separate issues. There's one issue of her being a source of tumah, and there's another issue of issur v'hetar. Right. So if the husband's tameh, so that, in other words, that's totally separate from the issur v'hetar issue. Issur v'hetar means that a woman cannot have relations with her husband while she's an ida. Fine. But once she's no longer an ida, she can have relations.
The tumor of her husband, not this, I'm just saying about the tumor, could be transferred back to her?
No. No. No.
711 seems to be a strange combination. I could hear 721.
Right, correct. No, in other words, right, that's why most Rishonim say that the 11 days doesn't then take her right into her stage of Nida. In other words, the 11 days are, what are you, Meziva? And after that point in time now, she's available to become a Nida, but that does not mean she automatically becomes a Nida.
The 11 days float.
Huh?
The 11 days float.
Right, right.
Is it correct also that the problem with the other one was the calculation? Mm-hmm. Is that calculation has to go back to when she was 12, 13? If you were
according to the Rambam, yeah. According to the Rambam...
According to
the Rambam, in other words, her 7-11 now is going to go all the way back to where...
But even according to the other Rishonim...
No, according to the other Rishonim, no. The other Rishonim will have it that she does not... In other words, the next time that she'll bleed will be her Pesach, will be opening.
Also, it doesn't have to go back
right
to the calculation.
We will hit a couple of very difficult dapim in Nidam. In the Lamed, I believe. Right? Yeah, I want to say something. Yeah, if I say so. Right now, I could say whatever. But, in the Lamas, I believe we're going to hit a couple of very difficult dapim, where basically she's a Zav, she's a Nida, and she gave birth, and we're trying to configure when she's back to day one. Okay. Anything else I'd like to go over? I think no. I think we're ready to start the Mishnah and to start the Gemara. Now, when we start the Mishnah and the Gemara, keep this in mind. Really, our fundamental topic in the beginning of the Masechta is going to be Tumah Tahara. Meaning, there could be discussions that we could have, and we could even have those discussions concurrent as we're learning our Mishnah and Gemara, but right now, just for the beginning, we're just really much more interested in the issues of Tumah Tahara. So again, now a woman's bleeding, she's now a Nida, anything she touches that's susceptible to Tumah will become Tameh. Good? Okay. When does she become a Nida precisely? Okay? And the answer is when the blood leaves her uterus and goes into her canal. Okay. So in other words, the truth of the matter is that the blood does not need to actually exit her body. As long as it leaves the uterus and goes into the canal, she's now a Nida.
And she has to feel it.
Oh, okay, fine. Okay. It really is a lot of information, and it's okay. Does she need to feel it as well? The answer is yes. Okay, but do me a favor. It's a great point. Leave the feelings right now out of the discussion. Okay, we'll come back to that another time. Okay. It's called a hargasha, right? That sensation that she has when she's bleeding. But that's for another time. So in other words, once the blood has entered into her canal, she's now a Nida. Okay. Now, how does she know the blood entered into her canal? So as we're going to see throughout this Masechta, a woman does an examination, an internal examination. She takes a cloth, a white cloth. She inspects it to see that there's no blood on it already. And then she does an internal examination. She takes the cloth and she puts it inside of her. And then she takes it out, and if there's blood on the cloth, she is a Nida. Plain and simple. Okay. Now, it's precisely for this reason that the blood is not apparent, that it's going to lead to the first discussion that we're going to have together in Masechta Nida. And that's the following. The blood actually comes out of her body. Okay. And she sees the blood coming out of her body. Now, what are we safe to say? In other words, here's what we know. She's now currently a Nida. Okay, that's a given. Was she a Nida beforehand? Meaning, perhaps this blood took some time before it came out. Maybe this blood was sitting in the canal for an hour, a day, a week. Maybe she's been Anida now, not now, meaning when the blood has come out of her, but maybe she's been Anida already for a whole week, perhaps. Now again, as far as, we're not, remember, there are two discussions. We're saying this vis-a-vis her husband, but we're really talking now vis-a-vis Tum and Tahara. Maybe the chair she sat on a week ago now is Tame. Right, maybe the Truma that she touched a week ago now is Truma Tamea.
So you've got to retrace everything.
Correct. So does she retrace her steps? So this is the opening of our discussion. This is where we start in Masechta Nida. It's here, on this very topic. Shammai Omer Kol Anashim Dayin Shaitan. So Shammai says, no. Shammai is going to take an unconventional position. I say unconventional vis-a-vis Shammai. First of all, we're going to see a machlokas between Shammai and Hillel. How many machloksim are there between Shammai and Hillel? Right.
Many.
No. The number is tiny. You're thinking about Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel.
Ah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of machlokas.
That was a trick question.
I know. I understand.
Wow. So, I believe all of them, we hold
like
none of them.
Right. Correct. Meaning, Shammai and Hillel argued very infrequently. They were the last of the Zugos, the last of the pairs. Right after Shimon Atzadik, they came and went. So then there were five pairs of leaders of the Jewish people. You'll find them in the beginning of Pirkei Avos. Shammai and Hillel's rabbis were Shmaya v'Avtalion, and then the next Zug, the next pair is Shammai and Hillel.
Okay. They actually sat down and talked to each other. It wasn't like
they co-led the Jewish people.
They were good friends.
They were close. And they disagreed, but not as frequently as people think. Very infrequently. And here's one of those times. And by the way, Shammai's Mekel. Shammai over here comes out to be lenient. Shammai Omer Kol Anashim Dayin Shaitan, and Shammai says like this. You see the blood now? She's Tamei now. And I do not go back one moment. Shammai says there is not one moment in time that we're going to retrace her step and retroactively say that she was Anida. Meaning, when is she Anida? Now. And the words are, Dayan Sha'atan. It's enough to say, Achshav. Right? Just right now. This is when she's tummy from this point going forward. From this point moving forward. Hillel Omer mi Bekila Bekida ve'afilu yamim harbei. And Hillel says, we're going to go back. And she's going to retrace her steps. Why? When? To the last time she did an examination. She did an examination a week ago. And it turns out that her examination came out clean, and now a week later she's bleeding. So Hillel says, I'm going to retrace her all the way back to the examination. Meaning the last time that I can safely say that she was not Anida was the examination. But the moment that the cloth exited her body, it could be that she started bleeding at that point in time. It could be that the blood left her uterus and entered into her canal at that very moment in time. And so therefore, Hillel says, I'm going to go all the way back to that time, and I will determine her to be a Nida from here all the way back to her last examination, even if that last examination was a week ago.
So she sees
could be
blood.
More. Could be more than a week ago.
So she sees blood, and so he says, you are Tamei from Wednesday when you did a bedika then, even
right.
though you didn't see blood
right.
on Wednesday.
Correct.
But, okay, had so anything you touched since Wednesday.
Right, had she seen blood on Wednesday, she would have been Anida.
Right.
And according to Hillel, she would have been Anida going back to the last time she did a bedika.
Oh, okay, even then she would be Anida.
Yeah. Yeah. Correct. Now, Hillel Omer mi Bekila Bekida. Ve'afilu yamim harbe, it could be, there's no cap. It could be as many days. Ve'chachamim omer lo k'divri zeh, ve'lo k'divri zeh. Ela me'eis le'eis me'me'etas al-yad mi Bekila Bekida, o mi Bekila Bekida me'me'etas al-yad me'eis le'eis. And then there's a third opinion, the opinion of the Chachamim. And the Chachamim say, no and no.
Who are these Chachamim? Are they like contemporary?
They are, must be. It must be, otherwise... otherwise, you know, we wouldn't. You know, there was. Yeah, they have to be some contemporary. Okay, I don't know. I'm only going to speculate, and I really don't know. The Chachamim say like this. Look, fundamentally, I'm going to explain it the way the Gemara is really going to distill it. So I'm going to give you more of the finished product of what the Chachamim look like. Fundamentally, Beit Shammai. Shammai is right. Right? Meaning, right, you understand, She's bleeding now. She sees the blood now. Achshav. Meaning now. She's a Nida now. And we're not going to retrace our steps. However, for the last 24 hours, we're unsure. So for the last 24 hours, we're going to make her tummy. Meaning as a Chumra Midrabbanan, as a rabbinic stringency, we're going to go back for the last 24 hours. And just to make sure you understand, let's say she did an examination, internal examination within the last 12 hours. So are we going to go back all 24 hours? No, of course not. Meaning, if she did an examination 12 hours ago. So if she did an examination 12 hours ago, so you don't have to go back 24 hours. You can only go back 12 hours. Let's say she did an examination 2 hours ago, and the examination came out clean, and now she's still bleeding. So we're only going to go back 2 hours. Meaning, me'ez la'ez, or pikita la'pikita, whichever is less. Okay.
At max 24 hours?
Maximum, that's a good way to say it. Maximum is 24 hours. And if she's done an internal examination before then, so then even less. That's the opinion of the Chachamim. And fundamentally, and again, the Gemara, the Mishnah doesn't tell us this, I'm telling you this. Fundamentally, we're more like Shammai. I see Shammai's position much better. Now, let's say a woman has a regular cycle. Right? This is what's called in the Mishnah a vest. Okay? A woman has a regular cycle, so daishaita. So that means then that when she bleeds, she bleeds. Meaning that we're not going to go back at all. And presumably, even Hillel would agree with Shammai. Okay? Stay tuned. We'll talk more about that. Now, there used to be a minhag back in the time of the Mishnah, and during the entire temple period, where when a woman had relations with her husband, before the relations, and after the relations, she would do an examination. Now, before the relations, she would do an examination to make sure she's not a nida, because as a nida, she can't be with her husband. Okay. After the bia, she would again do an examination. Why? Because it's possible that she became a nida during the relations. The relations is going to mask the hargasha that she normally would have, and so therefore she would do an examination afterwards in order to ensure that she didn't start anida. Now, why would she do a examination after? Because remember, during the time of the temple, she wanted to make sure that she wasn't anida, so as nothing becomes tummy. Okay. So what the Mishnah's point now is as follows: for those women who do an examination before and after bia. Now, Hamishamesh is be'edim. Now, right, don't get misled. Edim over here does not mean witnesses. Edim over here means that it was the cloth. The cloth that she used in order to do her examination. So they testify, the cloths testify whether or not she is or she's not in Edim. Hamishamesh is be'edim is a kepikita mametas ayad, me'esleis va'ayad, me'pikila pikita. So they're going to cut down on the retroactive time. Meaning that if she had relations, let's say 6 hours prior to her witnessing her blood, and so normally we go back 24 hours. If she had relations and she did an examination before and after the relations, so then she only goes back to the time of the Tashmish, the time that she had relations.
No, but the thing is that the second examination was also clean. She had 6 hours later, so why don't you go to the second
one? Agreed. No, you're right. You're right. If I said anything otherwise, okay. I take it back. You're right. Now, the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question, which is, of course, meaning, why would you have thought otherwise if she has relations and the relations comes with an examination before and after and the examinations come out clean? What's the Mishnah teaching us? Of course, we're going to go back to the time of the examination. The Gemara is going to ask that question. Stay tuned later on, not today. Ketzad daishaita. So the Mishnah over here now gives a simple illustration of what we're saying. Haisa Yoshev has been mitzvah asuka b'taharos. Woman sitting on the bed, and she's dealing with taharos. Right? Food that's assumed to be tahor, kalim that are presumed to be tahor, upirsha, and she stops, meaning she walks away from the kalim, she walks away from the bed, uparsha, virasa, and she sees blood. Now, the verb that's used is seeing blood, but seeing blood means blood actually comes out of her. He tamea. She is Tamei, Vehein Taharas. But all the kelim that she worked with are going to be Tahor. Now, meaning all the Mishnah is doing right now is just simply articulating and expressing Shammai's position, which is that it could have been 5 minutes ago that she was dealing with Taharas. As long as she stopped dealing with the Taharas, and now she sees blood, so we're going to assume only going forward is she going to be Tameah. And that's obviously Shammai's position.
It's almost similar to Cohen going to the house of the Mesorah.
Right. Oh, well, again, there's a lot to discuss over here. It's similar. And the Mishnah makes one final point, and that is the following. Look, there's a machlokes between Shammai and Hillel, and then there's this kind of like almost like a compromised position of the Chachamim that we're only going to go back retroactively 24 hours. Even though it's true, according to Hillel, we're going to go back retroactively as long as a week, maybe even 2 weeks. And even according to the Chachamim, who say that we're going to retroactively make her Tamei 24 hours. As far as her being a Nida is concerned, meaning go back to the first point I made this morning. As far as her now having to experience 7 days of Nida, we only start counting now. Meaning, in the world of Tumah Tahara, we're going to go back retroactively. For Hillel, it could be a long time. According to the Chachamim, it could be 24 hours, as much as 24 hours. But as far as her being Anida, it starts now. The 7 days begin now. Okay. Now, my time, Deshamai. We start with the Gemara, and with the Gemara over here now, a very basic machlokas. Let's start off with understanding Shammai, Kesavra Hemed Isha Cheskasa V'Isha Becheskas Tara Omedes. So for Shammai, it goes like this. The discussion really begins over here. Chazaka. Meaning one of the most important operating principles of halacha is presumption. Chazaka. Now the woman has a chazaka of being tahara. Meaning, for the past 3 weeks, let's say, 2 weeks, she's been a woman who's tahara. Meaning, okay, let's assume that she was a month ago, she started menstruating, and then she finished her menstrual cycle, and she tovled in the mikvah. Okay, from the moment that she tovels in the mikvah, she's now a clean woman. She's a tahara. So now, from going forward, her status is tahara. So now she's bleeding. I'm going to say that we go with her status. Status quo. What has been her status up until now? Status of being tahara. So am I going to go back retroactively and say, well, it could be that she's been anida a day ago, a week ago, 2 weeks ago? Of course not. Shammai says, Ha'emed Isha al Cheskasa. Let the woman remain to be in the status of being Tahara. Until I know otherwise, she's Tahara. That's the svar behind Shammai. Now, Hillel obviously is going to have a counterpoint. V'Hillel Amar, Ha'emed Davar Cheskasa, Hecha Deleis Le Reyusa Migufei. Aval Isisa, Kevan De Migufei Kachazia. Lo amin an ukma aches kasa. And Hillel says to Shammai, in this case you're wrong. Of course I agree with you on the basic principle of chazaka. Right? Chazaka is one of the most fundamental principles of halacha. Right? Remember back in Chulin we talked about the basics of chazaka. And no one's going to disagree to the basics of chazaka. But what Hillel says, but what I am going to disagree with you about over here is the following. I'll go with chazaka if the only thing that's changing the status is something, an external force. But look at the woman. The woman's status changes. Do you know how it changes? Internally. It's an internal change of the woman's status. So here, it's not like, well, this food was tahor, and something outside makes it tamei, and up until this point in time, the food was tahor. I'll say, it starts tumah now. Right. There, I'll give you chazaka. But over here, it's the woman herself who's creating her own tumah. The tumah is internally generated. And because the tumah is internally generated, so therefore, I have to question whether or not it began now, or maybe it began a day ago. Maybe it began a week ago. Right? It's a fundamental difference between a woman versus something else in that her tumah is self-generated. Now, umayshna mimikvah. Good. So now what we have over here is machlokes between Shammai and Hillel in terms of how to understand the principle of chazaka vis-a-vis a woman. According to Shammai, Chazaka tells us that she's been Tahara, she continues to be Tahara until otherwise known. Hillel says, in this case, no, it's different. Why? Because her Tumah is internally generated, self-generated. The Gemara wants to know, how is this different than the case of Mikvah? And now we study a Mishnah in Mikvaos, and we see this Mishnah a couple of times throughout Shas. Mikvah shenimdad v'nimtza chaser kol tahara shenasva gabav l'mafreya ben b'rishos harabim ben b'rishos hayachid tmeos. The Mishnah deals with the following scenario. In order for a mikveh to be kosher, it has to have 40 sa'av of water. Okay? And it's measured, meaning we'll have a measurement, we'll measure it to make sure that it's 40 sa'av of water. And what happens to water? Water evaporates. Right? You needed me in order to tell you this. You wouldn't have known this otherwise. Right? Water evaporates. You look at your pool after a long stint of it's not raining, and the pool obviously is going to go down. The level of pool is going to go down because the water evaporates, and the mikvah is no different. The mikvah is going to evaporate, and so a mikvah over the course of time will go from being a 40 sa mikvah to less than 40 sa mikvah unless you tend to the mikvah. Okay.
People go in and out.
Right, and also right, people going in, people coming out. They're taking water with them as well. Okay, all true. Let's say the following. I know a month ago we checked the mikvah. The mikvah had 40 saw. It was good. And now for the last month, we've been using the mikvah. Tovaling kalim in the mikvah. Tovaling people in the mikvah. And then today, we checked the mikvah, and it was under 40 saw. And I don't know when it experienced that change. I don't know when it went from being a kosher mikvah to a not kosher mikvah. Says the Mishnah in Mikvaos, everything done, all the way going back to the last time we checked the mikvah, is going to be no good. Meaning you're going to have to tovel it again. And all the items that were tovel there are going to be presumed to be tamei. Okay. So now the Gemara wants to know, this is a kasha. Kasha on whose position?
There's an inherent tendency for it to the chazaka that's going to.
Okay, so you saw that coming. So it's obviously going to be kasha and Shammai. How about this? It's also kasha and Hillel as well. All right, I also didn't see this one coming. Mishnah says mikvah shenimda v'nimtza chaser kol tahara shenasva gabal mafreya ben b'rishos harabim ben b'rishos hayachid tmeos. L'shammai kasha l'mafreya. So according to Shammai, it's obvious because Shammai says I don't go backwards at all. And the Mishnah Mikvah says, yes, you do. And Lehil Kasha Vadai, the Ilam Eslaisha, Shebenita Tolan, Lo Ochlim, Velo Starfim, Be Ilo Hacha, Tuma Vadai. And it's even a Kasha against Hillel. Because even when Hillel says that we go back retroactively, does he say that definitively? No, he doesn't. He only says it as a suffix, as a possibility. What's the testing ground of suffix? It's very simple. What happens if Truma were to become Tameh? Perfect litmus test to Vadai versus Safek. Truma becomes Tameh. Now if Truma becomes Tameh definitively, Vadai, what do I do to that Truma? I burn it. Right. What if it's Safek? What if Truma becomes Tameh but only Safek, only out of doubt? What happens to the Truma then? We don't touch it. On one hand, I'd like to destroy it because it's tummy. On the other hand, I'm not sure if it's tummy. And you know that by truma, there's a mitzvah of shmira. You have to safeguard the truma. And so therefore, if truma becomes tummy, but only al safek, so then, tolin, we leave it. Right? Lo ochlin velo sorfin. You don't eat it, you don't burn it. Just leave it.
Let it rot?
Yes. Inactivity. And then finally, when it finally spoils and it no longer is edible, so then you could dispose of it and discard of it. But until that point in time, you leave it. Even when Hillel says I go back retroactively, he only says it on the position of maybe, not definitely. And that Mishnah Mikvaos is saying definitively, anything that was tovel in that mikvah is tameh. Okay. So the Gemara's answer goes like this. Shemini tovel ochlim v'lo sofen. V'ilacha tuma vadai. I'm sorry. No tuma vadai. Answer, says the Gemara. So the Gemara says, well, it's very simple. Meaning, let's go look at that mikvah case more closely. What's happening in that mikvah case?
You took
a kli which you know was tameh, and you tovled it in the mikvah. the kli that you tovled already has its own chazaka.
Right.
This is now what we're going to call dueling chazakas. The kli that you put into the mikvah already has the chazaka of being tamei. So now what? So now you want to tell me that that kli is tahor? Yeah, but you don't know. So the Gemara says, "Adarabah hemen mikvah chazkaso ve'em lo chasar." The Gemara says, "Okay, but the mikvah, we checked that mikvah a month ago. That mikvah was fine a month ago. So you want to talk about competing chazakas? I agree. I understand the kli was tamei, but the mikvah at one point was for sure tahor. Hare chasol afanecha." So the Gemara says, "Okay, but right now is the mikvah good? No, it's not." Was the kli tamei? You bet it was. So in other words, the chazaka of the kli is much stronger than the current chazaka of the mikvah. The mikvah right now is not a kasher mikvah. Hachanami hare dam lefanecha. So the Gemara says, okay, let's go back to the woman. In the case of the woman, right now, the blood's looking at you right in the face. So in other words, she's right now currently tamei. Hasho de chazai. Yeah, but by the woman, I can make the argument, the blood came right now. Hachanami hasho de chaser. So the Gemara says, going back to the case of the mikvah, can I make the argument that the mikvah becomes depleted just a moment ago? Hashta. The Gemara says you really can't compare the two.
With the woman, there was a whole doubt as to when the discharge came out. That's the whole point of.
Wait. Hachi hashta. Hasam ikal amemer chaser v'asai chaser v'asai. Hachami ikal amemer chazai v'asai chazai v'asai. So the Gemara says, look. It's hard to compare the depletion of a mikvah and the woman bleeding. Because in the case of the depletion of a mikvah, right, it's a slow, gradual process.
Right.
Mikvah had 40 saw. Mikvah currently does not have 40 saw. It takes time for that mikvah to diminish and deplete. A woman,
she bleeds.
Right? In other words, the menstrual blood flows, right, and she bleeds. And it could very well be that that was an instantaneous change. So the Gemara says, "Umay kushy doma hagas chazise." So the Gemara says, not necessarily, even by a woman, we could say that the bleeding was gradual. Meaning, as Rashi describes, that basically the blood pooled into her, in her uterus, and eventually then came down into her canal. But it could also be that that was a gradual change. And even when the blood went into her canal, it doesn't mean that the blood necessarily immediately came out of her. It means that the blood could be sitting in her canal for some time now.
You mean it pulled it to the rechem?
The rechem is her uterus.
Right, that's the uterus.
Right.
And then it went into the Prus door.
And it went into the Prus door. And it could be that it's been...
Slowly into the Prus.
Right.
And then all of a sudden she felt it.
Right. So the Gemara says, Hagas Chazise. Hasam Ika Tartila Reusa, Hacha Ika Chadila Reusa. So the Gemara finally concludes with the following. Let's observe the following. In the case of the mikvah, it's two strikes. Strike number one. The kli that I put into the mikvah was for sure tummy. Strike number two. The mikvah currently does not have 40 saw. That's called strikes one and two. That's why in the case of the mikvah, any kli that I tovel in that mikvah is obviously going to be tummy. And vadai. Not suffix, vadai.
But you're measuring the mikvah after you tovel the kli.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Strikes one and two.
Yeah.
Good. In the case
the
of the...
The argument we made that some water came out of the kli.
Yeah.
When you dipped it.
It's possible, but again, I know for sure the kli was tummy before going in. And right now, I don't know if the mikvah at the time was a good mikvah. Good. So that is now, in the case of mikvah, that's called tartil l'riusa. However, over here, hachayk echad l'riusa, over here, however, it's only one strike. Meaning, it's true that she's bleeding. But when did it happen? I don't know. And going backwards, you know that a week ago she was tahora. 3 days ago she was tahora. So your only question is, maybe the blood's been sitting there in the canal for a couple... You don't know. And her status going from before, her chazaka lemafreya was that she was tahora. So you see the difference between the case of the woman and the case of the mikvah.
If the blood is sitting in a canal until she sees that she's not.
So I'm going to correct you on that. That's not a correct assumption, meaning that the moment the blood leaves her uterus and goes into a canal, she's a nida, even though she doesn't see the blood.
But she still has to feel it.
There has to, I agree, there has to be a hargasha, but there are a number of things that mask the hargasha.
Right.
Right? Urination can mask the hargasha, tashmish amita can mask the hargasha.
So she still has to theoretically feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. And just for the time being, let's leave hargasha out of the discussion. It's a good point, it's an important point, but just, okay. Umayshna mechavis. One more for today. Okay? And one, when I say one more, I mean one more Mishnah, one more comparison. And the Mishnah over here discusses the following. We're now in the world of Truma. Now, in the world of Truma, Truma's a Maestros, so it could work like this. You see, I have a wine over here. And in this cup of wine, I would like to take off Truma's a Maestros. So what do I do is I just could simply pour off 2% for Truma and another 10% for Meister. Okay. But what I could also do for Truma is I could do the following. I could leave this cup of wine or this barrel of wine over here and go from the rest of my stock, the rest of my, the rest of my cellar, and I could drink wine. And before I drink wine, I could say the following. Look, I know I need to take off Truma. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take 2% of whatever I need to take off, and I will earmark,
assign it
to this barrel over here. Okay, and you could do that. Remember, by Truma, it doesn't have to be exact. You could approximate. It could be done by Omid. So it could be totally do. Meister is a little bit different. Meister is a little bit trickier because Meister need more precision. But okay, leave Meister out of the discussion. Let's just right now focus on Truma. Okay, you could do that. Now, wine over the course of time spoils. Wine turns into vinegar. Right? We all knew that? I just learned that recently. So wine turns into vinegar. Now, here's a problem in the world of taking off Trumas and Maestros. Wine and vinegar are two different species. They're two different minim. So if I'm drinking wine over here, and I'm saying that, oh, the Truma for this wine, my trusty barrel that I have stored away. If this trusty barrel that's stored away is vinegar, it doesn't work. Because then I'm being mafrish, wine onto vinegar, or vinegar onto wine, and that doesn't work. So what the Mishnah here describes is that the person with frequency goes over to this, to his Truma barrel, to make sure, to inspect it, to make sure that didn't yet turn into vinegar.
How does he inspect it without tasting it?
Smells it.
Oh, I see.
Okay. So the Mishnah goes like this. Haya bodek es achavis lios mafish alei Truma. So he does an examination of his barrel so that he can take Truma onto this barrel. And then, a week later, a month later, it turns into vinegar. Okay. He's been doing inspections good, and then, you know, a month went by, a week went by, he didn't do an examination, now, sniffs it, it's vinegar. He knows it's vinegar. Kol gimel yamim vadai mikan ve'elech safek. Now, for 3 days, we can say, it's good. From that point forward, safek. Now,
inspection.
Huh? Now, there's a machlokus. Rashi takes us through this machlokus, and it's a question of whether we're talking about 3 days since he did the examination, or talking about 3 days since the last examination, or maybe it's 3 days from when he discovered that it becomes vinegar. Okay, and it's an important machlokus, by the way. I don't want to just, you know, whitewash the machlokus. But here's a takeaway point from this Mishnah, which is the following. It clearly is a point in time where retroactively we're going to have to look back at this vinegar and revisit this vinegar. Meaning, if it's vinegar now, it was vinegar at a certain point in time historically. Okay, that's what's clear from this Mishnah in, what is the Mishnah in Trumos? The Gemara is found in Baba Basra. It's the Tosefta of Trumos. Okay, wow. Kashya l'shamai. Now, okay, so it's difficult because in this case, we're going backwards. At one point in time, whether it's the 3 days going backwards, whether it's after the 3 days of his last examination, again, I don't want to get too detailed, I don't want to get too bogged down. But we're going to go backwards in the case of the barrel. It's vinegar now, it's been vinegar sometime before as well. Right? Kasha l'shama, that's difficult for Shama's position. Now, Hasa Mishum Di'ikala Meimar, and now the discussion is going to sound very similar. The Hasla Mishum Deikla Meimer Hemateva Acheskasa Ve'emar Lo Nitakein. Yeah, but over there, remember though, what are we doing is that we're taking my wine that I'm drinking and I'm trying to be misakin, I'm trying to fix the wine by taking off the truma from this barrel onto the wine that I'm drinking. The wine that I'm currently drinking right now is tevel, meaning untithed wine. Not misafek, vadai. We know for sure it's untithed. And so therefore, we're going to have to go backwards. We're going to have to review the case. On the other hand, you can make the very simple argument, yeah, but I checked the wine. Now, granted, I checked the wine a week ago, but I checked the wine, and the wine was fine. So why can't we work with that chazaka? The Gemara says, yeah, but right now, status of the wine right now, it's vinegar right now. So the Gemara says, okay, let's go back to our case of Nida. Right now, she's a Nida. Hashtahu dechazai, hasam nami, hashtahu dechmitz. So the Gemara says, well, can we say that the blood came right now? Can we say that the vinegar, it turned to vinegar right now? Hachi hashtah, the Gemara says, yeah, but don't you see the difference? Hasam iklamimre, echmitz vasai, echmitz vasai. Wine turning into vinegar is a gradual process. So the Gemara says, Hachami iklamimre, chazai vasai, chazai vasai. The woman bleeding is a gradual process, to which the Gemara says, umay gushya, doma hagas chazas chazisei. The Gemara says maybe the woman bleeding is a gradual process. So the Gemara says, okay, again, same conclusion that we came to earlier. The case of the wine, it's two strikes. Strike number one, right now it's vinegar. Strike number two, it's tevel. Meaning the wine that I'm trying to separate Trumas and Maestros right now is currently tevel. So it's two strikes. Right. In the case of the woman, it's only one strike. Meaning up until this point in time, she was not a Nida. Right now we see blood, that's only one strike. Okay. So similar give and take that we had earlier. Okay, good. So far, let's review. Mishnah discussing a woman bleeding. Do we go back retroactively and say that maybe the blood has been sitting in the Kosle HaRechem, Kosle Beis HaRechem previously? Shammai says no. Dayan Shaitan. Meaning she's bleeding now, she's a Nida only from this point going forward. Any Tumah and Tahara that she's touched previously is Tahor. Sorry, I didn't mean that. Any Tahara that she touched previously is Tahor. Okay. That Shita Shammai. Hillel says no. We go back. To when? As long as the last time she did an examination, and then there's the opinion of the Chachamim, the Mishnah, who says no meis leis. She goes back 24 hours. If she did an examination within the last 24 hours, so then it could be even shorter than 24 hours. So the three-way machlokas. What's the rationale behind Shammai? Chazaka. What's the rationale behind Hillel? There's a problem because her change is an internal change, so therefore the chazaka over here is not a good chazaka. Two case studies that we looked at this morning, the case study of the mikvah, depleting, the case study of the chavis, where the wine turned into vinegar, in both of those cases, tartal reyusa. Right? Two strikes are going against you, which is why both of those cases are not going to be comparable to our case of the woman being anita. We're going to talk tomorrow. That's tomorrow's discussion. Rabbi Chananya ben Akash, Rabbi Zakeh, Zohar, Ficha, Achir, Ben Torah, Mitzvah, Shenema, Anay, Chafetz, Mantzikon, Yadil, Torah, V'yadil.